Hey guys, welcome back to Esthetician on the Edge, the podcast. Okay, let me start out by explaining why this episode is late. I had my credit card information stolen about 2 weeks ago. And do you want to hear something that is so ironic it's funny? The chick in Germany who stole my info, Miriam, you bitch, she used it to buy herself, no, you're not going to believe this, but she used my credit card information to buy herself identity theft protection. Yep, someone stole my information to pay to keep someone from stealing her information. Yep, there it is. So, there's that, but I stray from the point. I thought I had gotten all of my accounts switched over to the new information, but lo and behold, I did not. I did not switch over the podcast platform that I use. So, you know, I was scheduled to post per usual this morning, like I normally do, and I really didn't think anything of it. And then I started getting DMs like, why no podcast? Are you stopping the podcast? Do we not get a podcast? So I went in to see what was going on and I see that they have denied my payment. And then I realized that I hadn't actually changed it over yet in the platform. Then to top that off, I did a really dumb thing and deleted the file from the podcast, the platform, completely deleted the one that I had saved. And then I went into my computer to re-download it and do it over and realized that I had gone on a computer cleaning binge. I don't know if you guys ever do that. You empty out everything. And I had deleted the original podcast episode. So yeah, there is that. So I thought in order to at least stay on track and, you know, have the continuity of every other Tuesday, that I would record quickly. So I ran down to my hub's man cave, which is where I'm located now, and recorded. There's no telling what it's going to sound like because I'm going to edit really, really quickly. But here we are recording and, you know, I'll spend the day editing and then hopefully I can get it released before midnight. Don't expect much from me, okay? All right, let's do this. In this week's episode, I'm going to answer a few questions, talk about kids and letting kids into your spa treatment rooms. I'm going to share some listener stories about what happens when kids go wild in the treatment room, and then sprinkle in a few other little quickies before the show is over. So I saw this interesting thread on a Reddit subthread. I don't know if any of you guys do Reddit. And it was about kids and kids in public and how they should be confined to the home until they're old enough to shut the hell up. You know, like Victorian times. Now, that was a little harsh even for me, you know, the woman who doesn't really care for kiddos that much. And hold on, I know that sounded harsh. That did. What I mean when I say that is kids don't make me go ooh and ah. Like, there's nothing internally that's triggered by seeing a cute kid for me. That's what I'm saying. You know, I don't want to hold your kid. My reaction is the opposite. When I see someone coming with a baby, I run the other way. No coworker. I do not want to hold your kid who has a weak neck and a tendency to projectile vomit and to have projectile diarrhea up their back. I'm good, thanks, but congratulations. But anywho, so the thread was about kids in public. So the gist of the thread was that they shouldn't be allowed to go berserk when they're in public. You know what I mean? You'll be out shopping, you're minding your own business, and all of a sudden some kid didn't get the toy they thought they were going to get, and they begin screaming at the top of their fucking lungs. And mom or dad, they just keep right on rolling them in the cart wherever they're at, or the little stroller. And letting the kid lose their minds with no worries about how it's affecting anyone else that is shopping. Well, one of the Redditors was a hairstylist, and she said she worked at an upper end salon in Atlanta, and that she had actually clipped, now this hurt me to say it, clipped a man's ear with her shears so deeply that it started gushing blood. And it happened because a kid was allowed to run around the salon and he had stepped on, you know, the hair while she was cutting. That stuff's slippery. So he went sliding and he hit her leg just as she was going around this guy's ear, and boom, blood's everywhere. The mom of the kid, she says, didn't even blink over the fact that the kid had caused a serious injury to this man. And then the mom became hostile when asked to control her kid, telling people, you know, don't tell her how to parent. Well, apparently somebody needs to tell her how to parent. And this got me to wondering if you guys had stories to share, like the hairstylist from Atlanta. And my God, you did. I was dying at some of your stories. They were so funny. But something else that came out of that thread was one guy, he commented underneath the hairstylist comment that she made and said something to the point of, wait, what? Kids are allowed into fancy salons? Is that like really a thing? Why? And that got me to thinking about kids being allowed in salons, period. Should they or shouldn't they? After a little digging, I went through some Facebook boards, you know, did a little search on kiddos, and then I looked through some other Reddit threads and some other places, and I see lots of arguments for actually letting the little crumb snatchers in, but I did think it was skewed more the other way because I saw way more arguments for keeping them out of places like salons and spas. And I gotta say, I'm gonna admit it, I fall on the side of keeping them out. Now I wanna clarify, please let me clarify. If it's like I call them turn and burn salons. I think they have different names depending on the region that you're in. But they're like the ones where you can just walk in, you don't have to have an appointment, everything's done really quickly, it's bright, you know, tons of primary colors. Those kinds of places, the ones that make money by sheer volume alone, the ones that advertise kids cuts all the time, you know, special, bring your kid in, free, that kind of thing. Go there if you're wanting to get your kid's haircut. Like, go there if you can't control your kid. That's a space that no one there, they don't have expectations. They expect noise. They expect a certain amount of chaos. Their haircut's $7. You know what I mean? And when I say keep them out, I'm talking about just keeping them out of salons that want your appointment to be an experience, I guess is what I'm trying to say. You know, you have the hot towels at the shampoo bowl, lovely music, beverages, complimentary snacks. They do an extended scalp massage for free. While you're processing, someone might come over and give you a hand and arm massage or even do like a little bit of traps work on you. That isn't a place for a rambunctious kid. And it's the same for spas. I mean, come on. The word spa, hello. Most people are going to picture like soft lighting, low music, people whispering so as not to disturb the atmosphere that has been created for anyone else. What they don't picture with their $175 back treatment is to hear little Junior in the room next door screeching and banging on the wall while mom gets her brows waxed and tinted. I mean, I'd be pissed. Wouldn't you? Would you be pissed? I think I'm right on this. We do have a no kid policy, but it's not enforced at all. You know, the owners, they are terrified of any kind of negativity on the internet, bad reviews, like anything. So they let everything go, basically. It's a free-for-all. A few months ago, I had a lady roll in one of those double-wide strollers, and in it sat absolutely adorable twin boys. First of all, the stroller was so big. I don't know if you guys know the kind I'm talking about, but it reminds me of like a nanny stroller. There's a front seat, but there's two seats. Do you know what I mean? And it was big. It had like the wheels on it where you can go off-roading off trail. I don't guess you would off-road in a stroller. Who knows? I don't. But it was so big, I couldn't close the door. I couldn't close the door to my room, so there was no privacy. My room size, I also don't know if I've ever told you this, but it's the size of a jail cell minus the toilet. So the door's open the whole time I'm tinting and I'm lifting this woman. So there's another problem because I don't even have the door closed to muffle noise at this point. And the second I had this lady's lashes on the rods, the little dude that was on the left, it looked like an angel, he looked me straight in the eye and swiped out at a lamp that was sitting next to him, which I jumped, tripped, and managed to save the lamp. And then within a minute, the other little dude that was on the right, he took his I don't know what you guys call them, but like a pacifier, a binky, a fooler, whatever you call it. And he chucked that motherfucker as hard as his little hand could and hit the wall and rolled under the table on the opposite side. And then proceeded to kind of scream, kind of laugh, kind of howl. And the whole time there's like drool running down his face. He's sticking his fingers in his mouth. Well, he's sticking his hand in his mouth and it's coming out with drool on it and it's going everywhere. He looks like a damn St. Bernard puppy. My blanket had been covered in drooly little handprints when they finally left. And mom just chilled. Nothing said. Nothing at all, you know. I'm sure they were 14 months old, she told me proudly. So I'm sure she hadn't had sleep in 14 months, but still, hello, mom, your kids are trying to destroy my room. Do something. And can we pause? Can we go back? Can we go back just a second to the 14-month thing? Why do parents do that whole the month thing? After a kid is a year old, do years. Like, your kid is a year old. It's over a year, right? When you're, I don't know. It's just so strange. She's like, you know, oh, my little junior is so well behaved. He'll be 36 months in a week. You mean he's three, right? Come on, Pam. Your boy can light his own cigarette at this point. Can we please progress to years? But I do think we should all start doing that. I think once you hit 30, you should start monthing yourself instead of doing years. So if you're like 35, going on 36, you got to tell people your math's happening. And math is not my strong suit. How old would it be? Oh, 431 and a half months old. Is that right? Yeah, 431 and a half months old. That sounds better than 35 going on 36. But anyway, back to our 14-month-old twin demons. I spent that hour appointment chasing down a pacifier, dodging drool strings, and trying to make them stop being so loud. And I saved that stupid lamp that I don't even like four times. The whole time, Mom, the only thing Mom would say, behave. Now let's behave. Let's behave. We'll go get ice cream when we're done here. And, you know, when the service was over, she gets up and as she's leaving, she's telling them what good boys they were. No, they weren't. You are wrong. They were not good. And I had to clean my room like crazy before my next client. That should highlight to someone why kids shouldn't be allowed in treatment rooms like that. I think at least esthetician rooms and certainly hairstylist chairs, they're dangerous. Hot wax, lots of breakables, shelves to tip over, chemicals that could poison them, lots of sharp, pointy objects. Come on now, if I'm balls deep into, let's just say, a lash lift, and I'm super focused on that task, I could possibly miss a kid coming behind me and getting into my wax pots or into my trash can or putting something in their mouth that could kill them. Solo Estes, I think they have more patience for this. After all, typically the only person in their place is the client that they're working on, and that would be the client that brought the kid in. So no one is going to be disturbed except the parent of the kid. But even then, to me, it's just not respectful of the space or of me as a provider. Now, that is just my opinion. And you know what they say about opinions. Y'all might feel a whole different way about it, and that's fine. I'm a mom myself, and I do know sometimes it can be very, very difficult to get an appointment to line up with your childcare. But that is like one of the best reasons to rebook your service before you leave. That way, you've got an entire month to line up your childcare. And sometimes it takes a month. I mean, that is what I did when my son was a little tyke. I would make sure that I booked an appointment. That way in my head, I was like, okay, I have to get childcare for this day. I never took him, not one time, to a hair, to a nail, or to a skincare appointment. Never even crossed my mind to do something like that. If something happened and he got sick or childcare fell through, I canceled the appointment, even if it meant taking a hit to my charge card for a fee. All I'm saying is think about the atmosphere that you're walking into before taking a kid with you. Be considerate of other people and their experiences and what they're expecting from their services. For me, kids in beauty services, that's a hard no for me. Now, I did get a ton of stories from you guys about kids wilding out in your rooms, and I wanted to share a few. The response was so overwhelming. Like, my phone blew up the entire night. You guys had a lot of stories to share. So I won't be able to get to all of them today. But the first one comes from Elle Kellana, and she shared that an 8-year-old boy came in with his mom that was getting a Brazilian, and he was standing at the end of the bed with his arms crossed and his chin resting on his hands, watching from the worst possible angle. She didn't even tell him to wait in the waiting room or at least to sit down in the chair so that he couldn't see. Nothing bad happened per se, but the kid definitely is going to have some issues now. Yes, he will. His shrink will get to hear all about that. And I had that happen when I first started. I had a lady do that to me. She had a newborn, like a serious newborn. They, you know, and they still look like they're squished down, like they're not pretty. Yeah, that new of a newborn. And maybe a 5-year-old girl. It's about the size she was. But the baby started crying, so she got up on all fours, and she was holding a bottle to its mouth. And then the little girl walks over, the little 5-year-old, and she starts just smacking the hell out of her mom's upper thigh, bottom of her ass area, because that's the only thing her little hands could reach. I mean, shit, I was traumatized watching that one, trying to wax around a 5-year-old's hand on her mom's ass. Oh, the SD life, right? Okay, next we have at Kia L. Is it Yanika? I think. Sorry if I messed it up. She says it was probably my second week being solo, so no policies in place yet. But my no kid policy was created because of this kid. The lady was 30 minutes late for her brow appointment, and I couldn't figure out why, because the hospital she worked at was 5 minutes away. She arrives with her 2-year-old son and said that she had to pick him up, and that explained her lateness. And I was so desperate for clients that I just smiled and took her back to the room. We got started, and I'd barely gotten on my gloves before her son was shaking my floor lamp, which has shelves on it, and things started spilling everywhere. I looked at my client like, hello, are you going to do something? And she said nothing. I didn't say anything because new and desperate at this point. The son continued to wreak havoc. He took products off of shelves, played with implements. Mom never stepped up to stop him. I mentioned that he could play with my tablet, and she shook her head and said he wasn't allowed to play with those things. He ended up destroying product packaging, and I was so annoyed. I rushed through checkout, didn't try to rebook, and I actually blocked her from booking. And then I went home and drank about 4 glasses of wine before going to bed. I think we all would have done that. No judgment here. At Great Skin by Kim says she let a mom bring a baby to her brow wax, and he sobbed hysterically the whole time. And at the end, the mom tells me he's crying because he has a fever. What the fuck? That's not cool. And she had another one. She said she had a mom show up for a 60-minute massage with an 8-year-old in tow. Didn't ask if it was okay. Just said that she'll sit quietly and she'll play games. No. The girl was a damn psychopath. She stood at the head of the bed, leaning on mom, staring at me the whole time. I had to ask her every 5 minutes to move because she was in my way. Mom never once told her to sit down or to move out of my way, and then left a shit tip. Oh, that's bad. All right, and we have an anonymous listener, and they say, I had a little girl who shit herself on purpose. That is one way to get attention. And she says, because she was tired of waiting on her mom to be done. She said she also had another little girl slap my hand during a Brazilian and say, stop hurting my mommy. Oh my gosh. Y'all, I know a lot of us, we had vaginal births, but you should not make your kid revisit that area ever again. Stop taking your kids to your Brazilian appointment. Oh, and just for shits and giggles, I read all of these to my mom because there were tons of like It was more moms than it was dads doing this. So I thought it would be fun to get her reaction. So I called her and I read her all of them. And she was like, I can't do my mom's accent. I wish I could. I'll try. She was like, what in the almighty fuck is wrong with these people? The hoo-has, they are private. That's why they call them privates. I seriously cannot do her accent, but I wish I could. She's from up north, believe it or not. But she's been here so long, she sounds more southern than any southerner I've ever come into contact with. And she says something that makes my eye twitch every fucking time. We'll go to a restaurant, and you know when they ask if you want a salad, and then they'll ask if you want dressing, you know, what kind of dressing. And she just looks up with this little look on her face, and she's like, Italian. You know, Italian, because, you know, there's an Italy, apparently. It's not Italy, it's Italy. Ugh, I can't with her. Oh, I hope y'all's moms aren't as hard to raise as mine. But anyway, moving on. At Ms. Marie 1969 says that she had a client come in for Brazilian. She brought her 5-year-old son with her, and I strongly advised her to reschedule. He stood silent like a deer in headlights, saying nothing the entire time. The next day, all his friends in kindergarten heard about the woman who ripped all mommy's hair out from between her legs. Mom had gotten an awkward call from the school. let's see. Next, we have at Shay Strahan, I think. And she says, one of my guests brought her toddler in the room and the little girl threw her binky in my vagina wax trash. And the mom simply pulled it out and stuck it right back in the kid's mouth. No fucks given there. Okay. Let's see. An anonymous listener says she had a client bring in a 4 to 5-year-old. She says she worked at a super busy salon and there were 6 rooms in one hallway and there was always someone in the hallway. The kid seemed fine at first, had her mom's phone. So I start waxing and I'm in the middle of it. And she starts taking pictures of her mom naked, butterflied open. Her mom is screaming at her. The kid then proceeds to send the pictures to someone and is cracking up maniacally the whole time. Her mom finally gets the phone back. We finish the wax. Then her mom stands up to get dressed and the kid slings open the door while her mom is bare-assed and starts running down the hallway. I had to sprint out and block people from seeing mom naked. Okay, and we have At Brows by Rebel Red, and they say, a kid came in with her auntie while I did a Brazilian. The little girl was sitting on the table next to her aunt and would blow on her whenever. Nope. And would blow on her whenever I applied wax because her auntie told her it was hot so that the little girl wouldn't try to play with it. Oh my God, that's going to be so much therapy right there. So much therapy. Okay, and next up we have At Sculpted Gel Nails by Rosie, and she is a short one. And she says, yes, the little fucker hung off my mag lamp and pulled it off the wall. I'm sensing some residual anger there, Rosie. I wholeheartedly approve. Okay, and then At Beckhamy _ Thomas, probably screwed that up, sorry. She said she had a lady bring in a 6-year-old son. It was a home salon, so it's fine. She brought some Legos for him to play with, and it actually kept him busy for about 3/4 of the service. Then he just stood up, looked me dead in the eye for a solid minute, and I was like, are you okay? And while maintaining eye contact, he pisses himself all down his leg and onto the floor. I was frozen in shock, and my beautiful client was horrified. She insisted on cleaning it up, and hey, it wasn't my kid, so I had no problem with that. She ended up leaving me a $50 tip as an apology, which here in Australia, tipping is not usual, so it turned out to be okay. At Irene LG says, full to the brim cups of coffee everywhere. Someone showed him how to use the Keurig. You guys don't ever show a kid how to use a damn Keurig. Shit was like a booby trap. Everywhere you turned, coffee. Hot piping coffee. Yeah, like that. And last but not least, we have an anonymous listener who says, it's not a kid, but a service dog. And no, folks, I ask, it wasn't a real service dog with proper training. It was a dog that a lady was trying to train, and the lady didn't have the qualifications to train it. And she says, she said the dog wrapped its leash around the stool several times, licked the bottom shelf of her wax cart, shook his body super hard, sending dog hair all over the room, including onto the patient's face while she was microneedling. Thank you guys. Thanks to everyone who shared their stories. I love hearing how fucked up your rooms are too. It keeps me going and makes me think I'm not as insane as everyone tries to tell me I am. Okay, let's get on to the next. Let's talk about why you should still dress the part, even if you technically don't have a dress code at your work. And I'm bringing it up because a friend of mine went to get her hair done a few weeks ago. It might have been longer than that. And I met her for lunch right after. Per usual, she's one of those people that's always super cute. That makes me sick. But she was super cute, and I commented on how fresh and fabulous her hair looked. And she does that whole, you know, touch her hair thing and say, thank you, girl. And then she starts to tell me, because she knows I'm in the industry, she is not. But she starts to tell me about the appointment. And she'd been seeing this same lady for 2 years while the stylist worked in this little posh, to me, overpriced salon. And she says this girl always looked like she had just stepped off a catwalk. Beautiful, well put together. And that recently the stylist had decided that she had enough clients and she wanted to go out on her own. So she had rented in one of the chain rental places. She'd set up her own little boutique. But when the same stylist came to grab my friend from her car, you know, because it's COVID world, you have to wait in your car. She said for a moment, she just sat there like, who in the hell is this raggedy ass person? That's not Nicole. But it was totally Nicole, her stylist. And my friend said that the lady had on jogger pajama pants, and she knew they were pajama pants because she has the same pair. She had on flip-flops, a bleach-stained Alabama sweatshirt, and her hair was in some kind of weird bun that had shifted so far over to the left side that it looked like it was ready to collapse. And after laughing about it for a minute or so, my friend can tell a hella story. She turns to me and says, you know, I guess she's just gotten to the point with me. She knows I'm not going anywhere, so she doesn't think that I'm worth the effort of her getting all made up. And that made me cringe, guys. It really did for our industry. I would hate for my clients to think that way about me, that I took them for granted to that extent. Now, I know you can still be at the top of your game dressed like a bum, but why would you dress like a bum? You're in an industry that is within the spectrum of beauty. It's all about image, and as shallow as that sounds, it's reality. We are in an image-based industry. Now, I wear scrubs to work, and I always have, besides the first job that I had. And there, I was required to wear heels, slacks, and a blouse. So, still super professional. But after that, it's always been scrubs. And I'm not talking about the dingy, loose scrubs of old, you know, the kind that would slip down and you'd wear holes in the backs of the legs because you kept stepping on the scrub pants. They make scrubs now that are more tailored to fit, and they feel like you're wearing pajamas. So if that's your jam, you want to roll out of bed and roll back into some pajamas, wear scrubs. My favorite are a brand called Healing Hands. I think I've been wearing them now 5 years, 6 years, something like that. But it's my favorite. The purple label is what I tend to go to in those. I like the fit of those and the look of them. I just want something super simple. But if you don't like that brand or it doesn't feel good to you, you don't like the way the fabric feels, there's other options for you. Grey's Anatomy, they have so many options for scrubs. Figs, you can order those online. I'm not a huge fan of Figs. I think the cut is not flattering for a lot of people, but I see them all over Instagram, so I'm sure you could probably find something you like. And then there's one that, it has a heart on it. I can see the logo, but I can't. Is it Heart to Heart? No, wait. I think that was an 80s sitcom. No, it's got the heart, little pink heart on it. I know you know what I'm talking about, but they have things that are cut more fitted. Literally, almost every scrub company has figured out that we, women mainly wear scrubs, that we want some shape to our scrubs. We don't want to be big blobs. There are times when I've worn all black, you know, that's our uniform for whatever reason. But I'll wear a pair of black dress pants, black shirt, boots, something like that. Or if I'm stuck with jeans, they're a more tailored kind of jean, darker wash with a blouse and a boot, something like that. I can't really casual it up. It's just not me. I look too, how do you say, sloppy. I look too sloppy if I'm too casual, which is a jeans and a t-shirt for me. I look sloppy. And that's not to say that some people can't make a t-shirt and jeans and flip-flops look like, you know, they just stepped off a runway. Some people can. I can't. So I'm just speaking from my experience. So even if you're doing like a tee jeans, like add some cute earrings, add a necklace, something, put a cute boot on. Don't just look sloppy. Look a little bit more structured. That's my opinion. I think there should be structure to your outfit, even if you don't have a dress code. I think you should set a dress code for yourself. I really do. So I want to know what y'all think about how people in our industry should present themselves. You know my opinion. I give them freely. But I want to know what you guys think about presenting a professional image. To me, it conveys a presence and it conveys confidence. And that's something that I would look for if I was looking for a service provider. But I want you guys to let me know what y'all think. I'll get a poll posted so that you can tell me right after I release this episode. Okay, let's move on. I have a question from a follower. I don't have your name. I don't know why I don't have your name. But the question is, you say... You already know. And a question starts out with, you say, it's a hot mess. Okay, let's see. You say there isn't any such thing as medical grade skincare, but I see medical grade all the time. So what is it? Is it medical grade or not? Does it exist or doesn't it? Okay, well, medical grade skincare doesn't exist, at least not in the context that people try to portray it, if that makes sense. There are brands that are sold within and only carried under a doctor's license, and that's what everyone is presenting and selling and considering medical grade skincare. But the FDA, the governing body that sets all those labels and things, they don't have a classification system for medical skincare, and I say that in quotes. Basically, there's been no bar set by any governing body. Like, our government has not said, if you put this, 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 and this in at this percentage, you qualify for a medical grade skincare rating. That doesn't exist. It's not out there. Maybe one day it will be, but it isn't yet. Companies can, they can choose to set that bar anywhere they want and call it medical grade. Most of them, they don't have drugs in them to make them medical grade. That's crazy. It's the same cleansers and toners and moisturizers with the same kind of ingredients that you can buy anywhere. Medical grade skincare. Instead, they get you to focus on an unproven ingredient like stem cells, and they swear that other products are full of filler. Whatever filler is, I don't even know what that means. This isn't the food industry, and that cleanser, you know, it's not a pretend hamburger. They do put filler in hamburgers so that they don't have to use as much meat in the product, but they don't do that in cleansers. That would be silly. Every ingredient has a function. Like, everything works synergistically to make that product work. So there's no such thing as filler. That's crazy. It's insane. Ugh, I don't know. But medical skincare, it's marketing. It is a marketing story to make you as a consumer feel like you've made a smart, informed choice by choosing a product created and carried by a medical professional. And we fall for it every time. I do, you do, our clients do. I'm not against medical, and I say that with quotes, skincare, not at all. I have lots of products that would technically fall into that made-up category. I'm just a little bit more woke about it than others. I know what I'm buying. I'm not buying medical-grade skincare. So to answer your question, technically, no medical grade. It is not a thing in skincare, according to the FDA. There's no cosmeceuticals classification. There's no medical classification for things like skinceuticals, SkinMedica, ZO, like all of that stuff. The FDA hasn't set a bar. But in our world, in the spa, salon, skincare world, the actual physical working world, because of its success, you know, through media, through estheticians, through doctors, medical skincare exists as a catchphrase. And that's what a lot of companies call their skincare products. Okay, next question is from Margareta_Leland. And she says, why won't clients buy products? I'm a solo operation and they love the facial, but say no to products. That's a hard one. But I'll tell you, if you're educating that client and you're showing them effective products, the answer is probably they're not ready to make the commitment to change their skin. And that's true with a lot of clients. They just don't want to. They don't want to. I hear it all the time. I don't want to spend the money. And to me, that puts them in a category that they are just there for a facial. That's it. They're not ready to take that next step to be serious about their skin. And I get that some people, they balk at the price. But in all seriousness, Drunk Elephant, come on now. It's expensive. And sometimes it's more expensive than the stuff even I retail. And I use professional products. Olay of Olay, the Regenerist. It's $30, guys. $30. A moisturizer from Walmart is $30. When you can go to your esthetician or even go online and you can get Rebalance from PCA for like $49, a professional product is only $19 more. And I'm pretty sure that SkinScript has one that's cheaper than Olay of Olay. So yeah, when they come at me with it's too expensive, I don't think it is. I just don't think that they're ready to make a commitment. And sometimes clients just like to bitch more than they actually like to see change in their skin, honestly. Now, you know, I do get that there are some clients that even the $30 moisturizer is pushing it for them. I get that. Let them use their drugstore brands. Work with them the best that you can. But we all know that although price can play havoc with your retail, we all know that most of our clients, the ones that are coming in consistently seeing you for facials and such, that a facial is not a necessity. So if they aren't buying and you've done your due diligence, they, in my opinion, are not ready and not serious enough to see true changes in their skin. They're still just playing around, and the facials for them is just a time for them to relax. Oh, and when I say due diligence, I mean you're showing them products, you're being excited when you show them products, and you're being knowledgeable about the products that you are showing and not just throwing some stuff on a counter and being like, you need all of this. Now, I will say if you aren't selling to any, like not a single client, nothing. Like no one will buy from you. It could be the way that you're trying to sell or your approach to the sell. And that could stem from a number of things. Maybe you lack confidence in your pitch when you're trying to sell. Don't use words like, maybe, it's pricey, you can get it now. You never give them, you can get it now or get it later, doesn't matter. Using those kind of words is not good when you're trying to sell something. It really isn't. You have to be very confident, present the product, and back away. That's the best way to do it. Another thing is that you could be overwhelming the client. Totally. Like if you're offering too much at one time, it can be overwhelming. Or they're just not buying the story that you're selling or that you're attaching to the products. Like I have a hard time selling things I don't like. I don't sell things I don't like anymore. But I think I've told you guys I don't, and I'm probably going to get sued by them eventually, but Yonka, it's just not one of my favorite brands. I know people who love it, but I've never seen the effectiveness of it. So it was really hard for me to attach positive emotion to the product that I was trying to sell, and it showed. I know it showed. So I had a terrible time trying to sell that stuff. So it could be that. Maybe you're working under someone somewhere, and the products just aren't selling because you don't really believe in the products. Margarita, reach back out to me and let me know which one it is. If you're selling or not selling, if you're selling here and there or you're not selling to anyone, and I'll see if I can help you figure out what's going on. Okay. I want you to be successful. Okay, guys, that is it for this episode. Thank you for listening, for leaving all those fabulous 5-star ratings. It helps so much in keeping the show in whatever algorithm that Apple Podcasts and all the other podcast platforms use. The more positivity that you spread about the pod, the better it is. If you have topics you'd like to discuss or questions or stories you want to share, please hit me up at estheticianontheedge@yahoo.com, or you can just shoot me a DM through Instagram. As always, wishing you guys a Pam-free week. See you next show.